trying to remember what the bit was.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. I'm Kelly.
I'm Andrew.
And this is another episode. Wait, how do you continue after that?
Another episode of Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. I'm Andrew. I'm Kelly. I just start saying something
else.
Do
we just get into it?
Okay. Yeah, but my bit, I just remembered. Well, because now we started. I feel like it's going to start with me saying, trying to remember the bit and mumbling to myself. The bit was going to be, hello, everyone, and welcome to Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew 2. Because the big news story. What?
Back and better than ever.
Back and better than ever. I mean, for the audience, it was only 1 week off. So for us, it's been... When did we... A month ago, right? It was like a couple days before Christmas, and now it's almost February.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So a lot has happened, but also kind of not a lot has happened.
The year has come and gone. The new year has passed. It is an Arctic tundra outside, which is different from last year.
Yes, I like that. I mean, it's annoying for like convenience, but it's nice to feel like winter exists. Seasons are good.
I prefer the snow over like the gross sludge that is surely coming in February.
I was going to say, sludge comes after the snow. We're just still enjoying that nice white.
It was pretty sludgy yesterday because it got warmer yesterday. It was like 40.
Yeah.
And it was pretty sludgy and wet, and it was gross. And I was outside. Yes, I went outside. I know. Hard to believe. I loved the safety of indoors. But I went outside and I was stomping through the slush, and it was gross. And I was like, and it, you know, it gets so gross and dark from like the dirt and the mud and the road. It's like, ugh. And the oil. Ugh. But now it's like fresh powder snow again.
Yeah.
It's really coming down.
I do feel like it is feeling just the fact that the sun's staying up later. We're having the most like water cooler talk right now.
It's good to get back into it.
We started this episode, the first of the year, our big return with me mumbling and you trying to figure out exactly how the opening goes. Oh, did I say I'm Andrew, by the way?
I said I'm Kelly and yeah, you did. Okay. Yeah.
As though anybody, if this is somebody's first episode, they've already turned it off. So
they're like, what is this?
Well, I thought we were talking about games and here they are talking about sludge and oil.
We're talking about the weather. I will say, I live up toward a great lake of this nation. And
it's a pretty good lake.
It's not the best. It's not superior, but...
That's so sad.
But so sometimes like we get more snow. We're not in the snow belt, but we get a lot of lake effect snow. And it's kind of been like nonstop. Except for yesterday.
You know what's crazy?
Yes.
If you just like left your house, you could go on the lake and just like go to Canada in like 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
It might be a couple more than 2 minutes, but if you swam, you'd be in Canada pretty soon. How many miles is it to Canada from you where you are?
I don't know. Like, are you talking about just like a straight shot across the lake?
Through the lake, yeah. You're not driving all the way up to like Buffalo or Detroit.
I don't know. How many miles?
How many miles away from, because you're how far from the lake? You're like a mile away from the lake, right?
Yeah, maybe like a mile and a half.
Yeah, and then how many miles into the lake is that border? It can't be that much, right? Like what?
Let's see.
15 miles? 20 miles?
I wish Google Maps had like a...
It doesn't... It should have the little scale thing.
Does it?
I think so. Here, I'm checking. All right. I'm going to where you live. And then from where you live to... Okay, I might...
There's like a little pointy tip.
It's a little over 20 miles.
To Canada?
Yeah.
Or to like the
middle
border
of the lake.
In the water. Okay,
to the
I was
middle
gonna say,
of the lake and then another
it's gotta
20.
Be more than that.
No, it, I mean, if you went to the very shortest point, it'd be probably like 40. It looks like 50 miles.
That's honestly not that bad. That's like an hour. Well, I guess it depends on the boat speed.
A fast boat?
If you're in like a little speedboat. Well, I don't think a speedboat can go that long for...
I don't think it would go 50 miles an hour either. Maybe. I guess it depends how speedy that speedboat is.
Yeah, but I don't think it would have the like gas mileage to do that all the way there.
Probably
so
not.
Yeah, it would probably take like 3 hours.
Yeah, because I mean the boat that I drive goes like... What?
Oh, this is new information about you.
There's a my family owns a teeny tiny little pathetic boat. It's not pathetic, it's a nice boat, but it's kind of
is
pathetic.
It a schooner?
No, it's a pontoon.
That is not small. A pontoon? Don't they have like little like canopies over them? Like, does it have a canopy?
No, those are pontoons. It's like a wide range. Like pontoons can have like beautiful canopies and like a second floor. This one is not that. Wow. It's just so that they can sit on the water. But I can
learned
drive that.
So much today.
But its max speed is like 18 miles per hour. And it's funny because you feel like you're zipping because you're on the water and it's like, and you're like, wow, I'm going so fast. But if you had a car next to you, you'd be like, hurry up. We should probably talk about video games.
Yeah, we can do that if you want.
We have a bunch of movie and TV news. That's the bulk of today, largely because there was a big Sony press conference, and it was literally a press conference. It was not like a fun event. It was just like them standing in front of a stage and announcing a bunch of things, very cut and dry. But they announced a bunch of movie and TV adaptations. I don't care about most of them, but the one I do think sounds interesting is the Ghost of Tsushima Legends anime series that's coming out in 2027. The only part that confuses me is there's also a movie. So, okay.
Yeah,
I guess
it's going to
be
a lot.
You could be doing two at once, I guess. It'd be cooler if they were making games, but...
They are making a game.
Well, I don't mean Ghost of Tsushima specifically. I just mean the fact that right now they have two separate Ghost of Tsushima TV series or a TV series and a movie in development. But I'm like, why don't you put that money into video games? Just an idea. Anyway. Mm. But I am kind of excited.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I feel like not saying that the world of Ghost of Tsushima is uninteresting. It's just I don't know how many stories can be told, you know? I'm interested to see what they do that might be different from the story of the game.
I almost wonder, because it's called Legends, if it's maybe kind of like a anthology about a bunch of different ghosts, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Since the next game is about a different ghost anyway, so.
Right. I'm looking forward to the Ghost of Tsushima game about Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I would play that so much.
Would you? I think that he would not be very effective as a samurai.
Why? Because he's friendly?
Yeah, he's too friendly. His honor would be too high, and he wouldn't get all those scenes from Ghost of Tsushima where Jin is like remembering his uncle being like, you need to be a good person. And Jin does like one stealth kill, and then he's like, how dare you do this? It's like, oh, sorry.
We're going to talk about Casper the Friendly Ghost again in six stories. And I am not kidding.
Wow. I'm not even sure what you're alluding to, but I'm really looking forward to getting to that point.
Okay.
Another movie that was announced is a New Horizon Zero Dawn film.
This is also getting a TV show.
Yeah, they're like really diversifying their output, but in a way that feels kind of unpleasant.
There's so many PlayStation IP they could make movies and TV out of. The fact that there are two Ghost of Tsushima media projects on the way and two Horizon media projects on the way, that's boring. And I think that basically implies to me that the Horizon TV show will just be set in that world. and the Horizon Zero Dawn movie will be an adaptation of the first game.
Yeah.
But that sounds boring.
Yeah. I wish I was, like, more familiar with this franchise. But I personally have never really been interested in it. So I feel like I just don't, I can't bring it in me to care about this.
I just feel the same thing. It's just dumb that they're making two at once.
Yeah, it seems like a lot.
Like, it's honestly surprising that we're not about to announce that God of War is getting a movie as well. Because that's getting a TV show as well. So I'm surprised.
Don't even say it. I'm sure they're already cooking something up in the Sony kitchens of doom and despair.
Probably. What if
Which is coincidentally where I live.
Just like Philly?
Philly?
You said just like Philly where you live?
No, I said it's coincidentally where I live.
Oh, they said just like Philly where I live. And I was like, you don't live in Philadelphia? We just told everybody you're close to Canada.
You know what I imagine when I think about the Sony Kitchen of Despair is you've never played Fallout New Vegas, but there is a plot line where you are in for one of the quests where you're in a casino and... I don't want to spoil it. The game is more than 10 years old, though, so I'm just going to say
it. Just do it.
The people who run this casino and own this casino, they're like an old family of cannibals. And the whole quest is you have to like go into the kitchen and you can either like help the kid get out. You can like lie to them. You can feed them a different person, etc. But the kitchen area is really scary and there's like a chef in it. And he's, like, really rude, but he's also very, like, hoity-toity. And for those who have played the game, you probably understand better what I'm referring to here. And for those who haven't, I think you should play it and so, get to that quest specifically and then get back to me.
Are you imagining that Herman Hulst is that chef?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a part in the kitchen where they've got, like, two Brahmin, they're cows, and they're, like, strung up. And there are just these two, and everyone in that casino who works there, they wear these white masks. They're the White Glove Society. And they have like flamethrowers and they're just like cooking the meat.
That's a sick way to cook.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of when I think of the Sony Kitchen of Despair, which is a concept that I just made up.
Well,
and I've expanded upon a lot. So I apologize for my tangent.
Hey, no apologies needed. We'll stay in this kitchen for a few more stories for some reason. Helldivers 2 is also getting a movie. It's funny to me that Helldivers 2 is getting a movie, but hey, what do I know? I just think this one's very reactionary.
Yeah, I think if you wanted a good Helldivers movie, you could just watch Starship Troopers.
Right. I found out recently that Starship Troopers is a different movie than Galaxy Quest.
I was going to say the one with
Tim Allen.
And Snape.
Yeah, Alan I thought, Rickman. And I was like, why is this a parody of that? I thought Galaxy, I thought Starship Troopers was a parody of Star Trek already. So.
I know. I feel like that's actually a common thought, a common confusion. So you're not alone.
Well, at least.
But you will.
Huh?
Oh, I was going to transition, but it sounded like you had something really good queued up for me.
I don't.
Okay. So the Until Dawn movie also got a new trailer, which, I mean, we've known about the Until Dawn movie for a while, but we got our first full trailer a couple days ago with a weird little preview a couple days before that, which that was a really interesting way of, like, releasing this trailer.
The preview being like right before the trailer is what got me.
Yeah. I have some thoughts about this as someone who really likes Until Dawn. A part of me was like, I'm of two minds. I think I'd like to give it a chance because I like the concept, the idea of the loop. I think that's more interesting than trying to recreate the story of the first game in Until Dawn, for sure. But I'm just not sure how I feel about it. Feels very Cabin in the Woods. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Self-aware. Feels a little Cabin in the Woods, very like self-referential, which is fine because that's how Until Dawn is. But the twist with Until Dawn is what, to me, it makes it more exciting and more interesting. And it looks like this twist maybe doesn't necessarily exist in the same capacity in the movie. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I thought it was interesting that they sort of reused the mask from Until Dawn, but nothing else really. So we'll see what happens.
I'm not like, I don't think it looks good, but I also don't think it looks like irredeemable. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was good, but I also don't expect it to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I think it looks fine. And it might be better than I expect, which would be great, but I'm keeping my expectations tempered. It's a cool idea, and I'm glad it's not just a one-to-one, because a one-to-one adaptation of that is boring.
Right.
So at least they're doing something interesting with it.
I agree. It's, they're the idea of, the one-to-one wouldn't even make sense for this movie, because the whole point of Until Dawn is it's like, you kind of make the story yourself.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that they didn't ask Hayden Panettiere to be in it. I feel like that could have been... Obviously, she's not a kid, but, none of these people look like children.
Yeah, I will say they definitely look younger than, Rami Malek and Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah,
the part at the end of the trailer is really gross with the worm coming out of her face.
Yeah, that's the thing. It seems like it's going to be kind of funny, but I don't know. I don't think of Until Dawn as funny. So that's definitely a new
angle. Pretty funny. I would say that it's not funny in a way that's it's kind of campy.
Right, but this looks like it's trying to make jokes, at least with that worm bit.
Right. Well, the only thing I am so confused about in the comments, not that I like to go into the comments because I think a lot of people are just
dumb,
but people are this doesn't look like Until Dawn at all. It's you guys complain when things are too similar. You complain when things are too different. You just can't please gamers.
Yeah, that's why I don't read comments.
Yeah.
Let's do things a little weird, Kelly. Skip to the next story, because I accidentally... Everything was all PlayStation, and then I accidentally put one thing in the middle that's not. So do you want to read the one that comes after your next story, and then I'll do the other two? Sorry.
Yes.
I stupid.
Sorry. No, you're okay. We got another... You're not stupid. Don't say that. Stop it! What if I got really mad every time you were mean to yourself? We got a new trailer for The Last of Us Season 2. Kind of a lot going on here. I did.
Okay. I didn't, so.
Well, if you play the game, then you'll probably know what's happening in this trailer at each scene that you see. So it's very interesting to sort of see how they've adapted it. I kind of feel like... And I say this with all respect and love to Bella Ramsey, because I think I appreciate them a lot as an actor. I feel like they just still look a little too young to be Ellie at this point. So we'll see. And I feel like, I don't know.
I think the problem they're not young, though. I think they just look like that. They just look like a kid.
I just feel like they did not make any effort, the costuming and the makeup crew. And, I think they do such a great job on the clickers and stuff. It just doesn't feel like an effort was made to look Bella look older. And it also feels a little bit like them and Caitlin Dever looks older than them. And I just feel like it's going to be mismatched when it's such an important part of the second part of The Last of Us is that sort of relationship between Abby and Ellie. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Obviously, we don't really know what we're going to see in this season, I should say, if we're going to see all of part two or just part of part two. So we'll kind of see what happens. I don't know if excited is the word I would use.
That'd be a little messed up
for how I feel, but I am interested to see how things are going to be adapted, and I'm interested to see the performances. And obviously this show is the show is pleasing to watch because it's very well made.
Oh, it's a good show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying it's pleasant is crazy.
I don't necessarily love some of the choices that were made to adapt it so closely, but we shall see what happens with season two.
That was the thing. I opened the trailer to put it in the sheet. And it went it was the brrr, brrr. And I was just I don't need to watch this.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's such a distinct last, like, that sound is so iconic, and I'm like, I know what's coming. And I'm, like, kind of mixed. Like, I don't know if I care. Mm. I feel like The Last of Us Season 1 was, like, pretty much, okay, here's what I'll say. I care if they do things, more things like they did with the Bill and Frank episode.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was absolute pinnacle. It was my favorite episode of the series. It's one of my favorite episodes of TV I've ever seen. But the rest of the season bored me. And that's not the show's fault. The show's pretty much perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've just experienced that story so many times.
Yeah.
So the idea of a really pure adaptation of part two, like, I'm more interested to replay the game than watch the show.
Yeah. It's funny that you said you've experienced the story so many times, because it's true. It's like, play it on PlayStation 4 when it comes out. You play it remastered on PC. You play the remake on PlayStation 5. And then you play the remake remastered on PC. It's like, oh my God, they've really released this game like 1,000 times.
Yeah, because I played it the year it came out on PS3 in 2013.
Oh my God.
I happily played it again in 2014 on PS4. And then I probably had played it like 8 times. Like, it's maybe my most replayed game ever, because I was just like so into it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've only played part two once, because it is so agonizing and unpleasant that I'm like, I've never had the drive to go back. Plus, it's so long. It's like 30 hours. So,
yeah, it's a lot.
I might go back before April, but, you know, I'll talk about it more. But I'm in a little bit of a lull of gaming, and like, by the time I'm getting back in, there's like a lot of games coming out, so we'll see if I have the time. But I'm excited in some senses. I'm excited for general audiences, and I'm excited to see their reaction to certain plot developments.
Right. I'm actually not excited for that.
I think general
the media literacy of this world has gone down significantly, and I fear the reaction to certain things that will happen in this show, in this season. And that's all I want to say.
I feel like HBO watchers will be better than gamers, though.
Okay.
I guess Game of Thrones.
Your faith is inspiring.
They're going to be better than gamers. They might not be good, but they can't be worse than gamers, right?
I'm just going to raise the point that Game of Thrones was also an HBO show. And
yeah, but that show like actually got divisive, right? Like, people weren't mad at it before it got divisive, were they?
People were definitely mad at it before it got divisive, but
well, I guess I don't run in those circles, so I don't hear that.
And
anger.
House of the Dragon, oh my God, let's not even go there.
Okay,
maybe we should talk about the next one.
Well,
oh,
I'm more excited.
Last of Us season 2 comes out in April, by the way, for those who didn't know.
Isn't that the first thing you said?
No.
Did we never use the actual
words? I just
said we got
a new trailer.
Oh, Last of Us Season 2. I hope people picked up on that.
Well, you did you said April like a little while ago, but I just wanted to put it out there because I didn't say it.
Yeah, there's no date. It's just April.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have White Lotus in February. That's more exciting for me as far as HBO goes. Kelly's going crazy.
I'm excited for the Goggins.
Exit 8. Is an independent game. It is a horror experience. It got really, really big last year. And it's getting a movie this year. We got a tiny little teaser and a release date of this year. I think it's neat. I think it's similar to Helldivers 2, a little reactionary. But I think if it's handled with some level of care, it's not a bad idea. But also, Exit 8 is so, so, so gameplay focused. That I'm like, I'm really curious where this is going to go. If it's going to go meta, or if it's just going to kind of be like a nothing movie. We'll find out pretty soon. This year is really not a long time to turn around a movie.
Yeah. Have you seen Skinamarink?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that. Like, conceptually, very cool. But, like, seeing it, it's kind of like... Like, existentially, yes, very dreadful. Watching it with mine own eyes, just a little exhausting.
I mean, I know there's going to be some audience members who hate me for saying it because I've said it before, but Skinamarink was one of the worst cinematic experiences of my life. I hated it so, so, so deeply. I truly hated every second of it. But that's just me.
Exit 8 reminds me of, do you know what Chilla's Art is? They make a bunch of like indie horror games. Uh-huh. It reminds me of a Chilla's Art game.
Yeah.
Where you're like stuck in a subway.
Mm-hmm.
Not the restaurant.
Oh. I would love to be stuck in a subway. Be forced to eat bread with a bunch of sugar in it. Last bit of movie news. Sonic 4, the movie, is coming out spring of 2027. I don't think this is that surprising, but technically they did say that they weren't going to make another movie unless the third one did well. But right after the third movie came out, they announced this, so it seems like it was pretty set in stone. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm still thinking about the subway.
Stuck in a subway with Sonic and Knuckles. I'm surprised there's not subway ads in the Sonic movies. I guess I'll just go ahead and toss it in now. I saw Sonic 3 over the break. The general consensus is that it's the best of these movies so far. I feel a little bit crazy because it's my least favorite of the three.
Why?
I just think that there was too much Eggman. I don't think, like, because Jim Carrey plays two separate versions of Eggman in this movie.
Right.
And there's a lot of bits where it's just him talking to himself.
Mm-mm.
And I don't think he's funny enough to do that. And like this movie also has a dance number in it, just like the second movie. But the thing about the second movie is the dance number's stupid, but it's Sonic and Tails, so it's adorable. So I'm just like, mm-hmm. That's me laughing because it's cute. But this movie, right. It was Eggman and Eggman. And that's not cute. Jim Carrey's not cute. Especially right. in this rendition.
Mm.
So, Shadow was neat. The first 20 minutes were really strong, and the last 20 minutes were pretty darn strong. But a lot of the middle was just full of, like, pretty insufferable puns. Like, there were so many puns.
What did you think of Keanu's performance? Better as Shadow than as Johnny Silverhand?
Yes.
I keep seeing fan art and it's like Johnny Silverhand and Shadow as if those are like his two most important roles.
Yeah, that's
like
I think the gamers about, like, are in charge.
Neo and like
no, the gamers are in charge, Kelly. I think there's some bits, like they started to lean into some of like the Sonic DNA a little bit harder in this one in a way that I was like, yes. But then they didn't lean all the way in.
And I was like, gotta lean in.
So close, guys. Like the way they like use some musical cues and stuff, it was like, you're so close. Mm. But they didn't quite reach that point for me. And the thing about the second movie, the first movie is just about like Sonic developing and it's kind of dumb, but it's cute. The second movie is about like Sonic and Tails becoming best friends and it's adorable. This movie is more about Eggman and like a little bit. I mean, Shadow's story is like really kind of cut and dry in this one, so it's like not a lot to think about, whereas Eggman, like, there's like some depth technically, and I'm like, well, that's boring because it's Egg. I want the animals. I'm in a Sonic movie. Sonic, right. Please.
Right.
And there's no really stupid only human plots. I'll say that, like, the second movie had like a dumb wedding plot that had nothing to do with Sonic at all. This movie doesn't have that. It just, like, the only human-only content is Eggman, but I don't think he was funny. It was funny because I was at the movie with my friend, and he and I were sitting there, and we got, at this theater, it's free refills on popcorn. And so I, like, finished my popcorn. I was, like, waiting for an opportunity to go get more, but I didn't want to leave during, like, all the Sonic action. And then the second that a scene started that was just Eggman and Eggman, I stood up and left immediately. And I was like, I don't care. Nothing. I will not miss anything that I care about. And I came back. I was like, did I miss anything? And he was like, you did not. No.
Hmm.
So, but it sounds like he might not be in the next movie. Jim Carrey might not be in the next movie. And I think that would be a big plus. I think if they just focused on the animals, that'd be cool. We already know who the next villain is to a degree. and I won't say because it's post-credits, but I feel like they'll still probably have some kind of human villain because, you know, it's a Hollywood movie. If they... There's the side... Have you seen any of the movies, Kelly? No?
Mm-mm.
So there's this side character, Dr. Stone, who's, like, gay in love with Eggman. That's, like, the bit.
I do know about that.
Yeah.
Because I see it on Twitter. Yeah. And I see the fan art.
Yeah. That actor is, like, really good. Like, really... way better than he has any right to be. And in the first movie, he was kind of dumb. And then in the second movie, they, like, fleshed him out. In this third movie, I'm like, can he just be the bad guy? Like, yeah, I like him. Like, he cried at one point in the movie, and I got a tiny bit choked up. And I was like, he was crying during a really stupid part. And I was like, oh, my God, that's real. Like, they just, like, made him cry.
Right.
So I'm hoping he's the villain in the next movie if they have to have a human. But hopefully it's just, like, not. There's no humans. That'd be nice. Just like James Marsden has like 4 seconds on screen. It's to be like, Sonic! That's my James Marsden impression.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not your best work, but.
Okay, I'll practice for next week. All right, Kelly, we're done talking about movies.
Right, but we're not done talking about Sonic. Or
oh, Casper the Ghost. Sega. Wait, stop. Have you stopped? Knuckles is now in the movie Scared of Ghosts, and there's a scene where they're watching Casper, and he gets terrified.
Aww.
Anyway, so I told you it was going to come back up.
Wow. It's crazy that I just knew that without knowing it.
That is crazy. Sorry.
I have a lot of knowledge.
Please resume.
Including the knowledge of the next news story. Which is that Sega is considering a subscription service, something like a Game Pass, for its titles, including all the Sonic games, and maybe those remakes that they have scheduled out for the next, like, 20 years. Or whatever.
It's over, Kelly.
I think it's never been more over. Yeah.
This is literally, yeah. Like, the game subscription thing is now doing what... the movie, like Netflix used to be like the one-stop shop,
right,
which is Game Pass for games,
right,
and now it's just expanding and expanding, and every publisher is gonna be like, oh, we could do that, and there's gonna be 500 services, and I'm just gonna go back to buying games.
I think that some of these services will get a rude awakening when they realize that people don't care that much about certain titles, and I'm not saying that about Sonic, but I think Sega's greatest advantage is Sonic, which is crazy to say because you probably couldn't say that like 15 years ago.
I feel like Yakuza is pretty strong too, but like not enough to bolster a streaming service.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Sorry.
Yeah. I feel, you know, the one benefit is that you're right, you can just buy the games, but it's also like, I don't know. I don't think that like these brand specific subscription services are smart at all for these developers, for these publishers. Like, I can understand that. I can understand Game Pass. I can understand PlayStation Plus because those are both, it's Microsoft and it's Sony. Those are like the two big players, but all these other little like trickle down ones, I'm just not sure about that.
I mean, up until a couple years ago, we were all buying every single game we wanted to play without really thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's never really how movies worked. Like, not many people went out and bought DVDs of the movies they cared about. They just watched what was on TV or they watched what was in the theater, like that kind of thing. But games, people have always bought the ones they wanted specifically. And Game Pass is like a new concept. Obviously, it feels kind of familiar now because it's been a while, but it's still pretty new in the grand scheme of things. I think if things became decentralized and annoying, people would just go back to how it was. Like, I don't think people would be like, oh, I'm going to get 10 streaming services because, you know, those would be, they're going to be more expensive than like Peacock. They're going to be more expensive than Disney Plus because games are expensive.
Yeah. Like in a world where you're right, like we're already paying for so many subscription services. I don't think people are going to think it's worth it to get the Sega Battle Pass or whatever. Not Battle Pass.
Sega
Game
Plus.
Pass or whatever. Yeah, Sega Plus, Sega Pass, Sega Play. Like, I don't think that people care that much. I think they're just going to go, you know what? If the new Sonic game comes out and I want to play it, I'm going to buy it. But
I think, like, this feels like the beginning of the end. I think it's going to be a while, but the fact that Sega's even broaching this makes me think, okay, this is not a great sign. Because, like, some Sega games come day one to Game Pass, you know? Persona 3 Reload came to Game Pass day one. If Sega's doing their own streaming service or subscription service, sorry, I keep using the wrong word, that's not going to happen again. And then other publishers are going to start doing the same thing, and it's not going to work well. So,
yeah, I think they will probably discover that it's not going to work that well for them, to be totally honest with you.
My only
like
fear
I said,
is that
I think
they...
I think the only sustainable ones for this are what it is right now, which is Game Pass and Plus, because they take in so many other little titles. It's not just Sony games on PlayStation Plus, and it's not just Microsoft games on Game Pass.
I just feel like they could bring down the whole thing. Like, not Sega alone. Sega's not quite that strong, but, like, if a few publishers do this, that's all it would take for everything to kind of collapse under the weight of itself.
These are already
kind of teetering on the edge of, like, sustainability at Game Pass and Plus.
I think that the industry as a whole has been sort of teetering on the edge of implosion for, like, 5 years now. So, we'll see how it goes.
I mean, thank God we have independent developers, genuinely, because video games are never going to go away. They're just going to evolve.
Yeah.
Well, one game you will not be playing in February, Kelly. I know you are really, really excited for your Valentine's Day plans.
Oh.
You're going to have to tell the man you live with that you no longer get to sit down together to play Assassin's Creed Shadows as your Valentine's Day celebration. You're going to have to wait till March 20th now. It's been delayed again.
Now I can get it as a birthday gift.
Wow. This feels like classic. Like, I miss when games got just delayed like 7 times. This feels like
the
good
final
old days.
One is like a month.
Exactly.
Delay.
Literally like 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
It's giving cyberpunk.
It's funny. I miss this. I don't miss this, but it is kind of funny. So.
Yep. I saw there was like a preview event where a bunch of people got to play this game.
Really?
I saw some stuff. It you know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to be the one to say it.
Do it.
Looks kind of good.
Yeah, it's probably going to be fine. It's just like, why does it keep getting... Nah, it doesn't matter. It's
right.
A little bit funny.
It is funny. We'll see. Maybe I'll get that. What is it called? Ubisoft
Uplay?
Uplay?
Uplay.
Maybe I'll subscribe to Uplay for a month, and I'll get to play Assassin's Creed Shadows in March.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or it'll get delayed again.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. This
might be good for you, though, because Avowed is out on what, the 17th, 18th?
Yeah, Avowed is... Oh, my God. You're right.
So
it's coming soon.
Gives you more time.
I can preload it now. Oh. Or not preload it.
I was going to say it's on Game Pass. You can't do that, can you? You're not paying for it, are you?
No. Oh. I thought you could, because I thought I did that with Starfield, but...
You can, but I don't think you could do it yet. It's a month away.
Mm.
You can, like, you can have it set up to download when it comes time. That's what I do usually. I did that with Indiana Jones, and I did that with Call of Duty, both games I have downloaded on my Xbox that are, like, 100 and something gigs that I have not played.
Right.
I haven't turned on my Xbox in a while. Poor little guy.
He's going through it.
He's
going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-install.
Okay.
I can.
Well, do it.
Well. Now, why is Battle.net telling me to pre-install it, too? What's going on? Oh, yeah, there's, like, a Game Pass integration with Battle.net now.
Oh.
Not that you care.
I don't care. Truly, I know it's a bit, but I really don't care. Sorry.
So other news. Hey, guys, Dragon Age news. Remember when every episode I was like, I wish there was Dragon Age news. And then Dragon Age came out, and it was like, that was like 10 years of my life I was thinking about that game. And now it came out, and I played it, and I'm done, and I'm like lost. I'm like wandering in the ocean. I'm like, what? Bloop, 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 bloop.
They can't see the visuals, but she's swimming.
I should put on one of the virtual backgrounds where I'm underwater. Hold on.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. This is really important right now.
Yeah,
I'm still going to talk about the news.
Especially since the audience can see it, too, so it's good.
Yeah. So The game director, Veilguard's game director, Corinne Bush, has left BioWare. That's the next news story. That's pretty much it. She left BioWare. I don't think that this is particularly surprising. They kind of said, like, before Veilguard came out, they were like, we're not doing any DLC, just letting you guys know. And we were like, okay. So, and there's no multiplayer or anything. I mean, the game is pretty much done out, and they are shifting focus to Mass Effect. I think what's interesting about Corinne, who was the game director, and I just want to say this because I think it's really impressive, that the game had been through so much. It was single player, and then it was MMO, and then it was single player again. And the dev cycle basically got reset twice. So the final product that we got really was only made in 3 years, despite the 10-year long development process, which 3 years does seem like a long time, but I think for the scope of this game is actually not that much time. But I will say, I think she did a great job of like coming onto this project, releasing this game in a state that performed really well graphically, technically, and like I said, there was no crazy bugs. I mean, I have not encountered like a single bug. I think I had maybe one bug across like, I don't know, 70 hours now, which is pretty crazy. So I think that is really impressive, and I think the game is really well optimized too. So I think it's really impressive what the studio was able to do under her direction for what we got with Veilguard.
Yeah.
I will also say it's interesting that she was with EA. I'm not sure if she's still with EA. It just said that she left BioWare, so she might still be with EA. But she was, she came from the Sims team, which is crazy. They were like, hey, I can't even imagine the phone call. But they're like, hey, so we know you've been working on The Sims, the life simulator game. We're just wondering if you were interested and able to be the next director of a game that has, that people have been waiting for 10 years. What do you think? Oh, no pressure. Yeah, let me just hop along. Let me just hop along. And you know what? She did it. So, big kudos.
She left EA.
Okay.
Voluntarily.
That's what I thought because I read that, but then someone was like, it just said that she left BioWare.
Oh, she said that she was presented with an opportunity she couldn't turn down.
Yeah. So, good for her. I'm happy for her.
Yeah, this is probably good news, actually, for her.
Yeah.
It's a loss for them.
And, yeah. And I don't really know BioWare's working on Mass Effect right now. Haven't heard a ton from them about Mass Effect 5, which was teased back in, like, 2018 and then teased again in 2020. So, and the director of the game, Mike Gamble, he's very active on Twitter, and he seems very optimistic about what they're doing. So we'll see if we hear anything this year about the next Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So
our next story dips a little bit into some real world news that I think we should kind of tiptoe around, especially because we're recording this Sunday, January 19th. It is fair to say there are going to be some pretty big shifts in the global space between now and the release of this episode on January 21st. So there's a chance that some of this information has changed by the time you're listening. But as you know, I'm sure, TikTok went bye-bye.
I have to tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news.
Genuinely?
I just opened my TikTok because I wanted to see if it was back. I got a pop-up. You can feel free to cut this out of the show.
Oh, you got the new one? I saw the new one. You can read it.
Welcome back. Thanks for your patience and support. As a result of President Trump's efforts, TikTok is back in the U.S. That's crazy. Don't be saying none of that.
So it's back? It's functional?
It's back.
Well, it frightens me that they say that considering the man is not currently president in the time of recording. I have to do some snap research then and see if the story I was about to read is no longer relevant, because it might be irrelevant.
Do you want me to tell them what it would have been while you're researching?
It is still pertinent, so I'll just say Marvel Snap somehow. I mean, it's owned by ByteDance, so that makes sense, but it got looped into the TikTok ban. So Marvel Snap, at least at time of recording, was removed in the United States. No longer downloadable, no longer playable. This is pretty crazy because it's a huge mobile game. One I had a lot of fun with when I played it. I didn't know it was owned by ByteDance, but what do I know? It's probably back by the time you're listening, but I feel a little silly bringing this story up now.
No, don't feel silly. I wanted to look because I had seen earlier today that people were able to get back on TikTok. And I was like, oh, well, maybe it's just like a weird loophole or something, or maybe they're on a VPN or whatever. But I opened it just to check and see if that was true. And it was. And I think this whole stunt has been really embarrassing on, we don't have to get into it, but.
Yeah, I mean.
It's been kind of crazy.
It's confusing considering the fact that the man is not currently president, so he literally cannot issue executive orders even if he wants to. But you're listening to this on Tuesday. I hope that everything's okay on Tuesday. I hope you're doing great. I hope everything's great. All I'll say is we're recording this from a timeline that's different than the one you're in listening.
I'm under the water. I'm under the ocean.
Yeah, Kelly's still in her little glub background.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. I will be glubbing all the way to Xbox's Developer Direct on January 23rd,
yes,
which is Thursday as of time of recording at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard. They're going to be showcasing some of their new titles coming out, like South of Midnight, the new Doom game, Dark Ages, and then Clair Obscur Expedition 33, and an unannounced fourth game.
Oh, ooh. I forgot to include. There's a very, very strong information stating that this fourth game is from an established Japanese IP.
Oh.
So.
And it's Xbox.
Resident Evil, Final Fantasy, Persona,
ooh.
Who knows?
Ooh. I would like some Resident Evil.
Right.
Resident Evil. They should go back to doing that.
Okay.
Before the games, like, remember in the first, well, maybe it was in the second game too.
They did it in lots of, I think they did it until 7.
Did they do it in 6?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think 7, everybody's like, oh, wow, they're being so reserved.
7 was just like a whole different.
Yeah. This thing is the most excited I've been for a developer direct, because that's 4 things I'm interested in out of 4.
Yeah.
That's never happened for me.
yeah. I think Persona would be crazy, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have money on that, but it's just an option.
But that would be cool if they showed the next Persona title. Hopefully not Persona 5 Royal Remixed Expedition 10,600 plus re equals heart.
No, it's actually Persona 4 Royal. Really Golden.
Really Golden.
Heart Golden.
Golden Heart Golden. It's actually Persona 4 Soul Silver.
Anyway, I'm excited for this. I wouldn't put too much stake on that fourth game. I'm trying to stay definitely chill, but I really want to know about South of Midnight. I really want to know about Doom, and I really want to know about Clair Obscur. And this is like more of an extensive look. Like, they'll probably all get like close to 10 minutes, and that's great, because like South of Midnight, it looked exceptional when we saw it, but we didn't really understand what we were looking at. And then Doom, we really need a release window on, I think. I think that'd be really nice, as well as some like just pure gameplay instead of that like snappy reveal. Clair Obscur, I'll take anything, and then that fourth game's cool. So that'll be what? Thursday? Wednesday?
What was the second game you said? It was Resident Evil something and then Persona.
Final Fantasy. I was just saying Japanese IP. That is all we know is it's Japanese, probably. We don't have any indication of what that means. It could mean so many things. Could be the new Yakuza. Could be new Sonic.
A new Yakuza would be crazy because they just announced new games.
Yeah, never mind.
But it would be fun. But it would be fun. We would have a good time. Yes. It would be fun. We would be jumping.
Jumping?
For joy.
Well, we'll be jumping at 1 p.m. on the 23rd.
That's right.
Things we're not jumping about. More PlayStation news. Sony has canceled 2 live service games that were not announced. One was at Bend Studio, the studio that made Days Gone. So they've been working on this since Days Gone came out. It's been canceled. All that work thrown away. And then the other one is from Bluepoint, one of the best studios in visual design. Incredible remaster, remake work with the Shadow of the Colossus Demon remake Souls. And the Demon's Souls remake. They were working on a live service God of War game. It has been canceled after 3 years of work. No word on layoffs, no word on studio safety, but I have a very, very just really disgusting sinking suspicion that this might spell the end for one or both of these studios. Because that's a lot of money thrown away.
Does Sony own Bluepoint?
Yeah.
Mm.
They bought them not that long. I mean, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. So this is not looking good, in my opinion.
It's really unfortunate. All that work and time and energy that these people, these developers, designers put into these games, and to just have them like shucked out the window is very disappointing. It feels like Sony really, really went all in on live service stuff before realizing that live service isn't as lucrative as they thought it would be. I don't know. Just not good. Bad scenes all around. And I really feel for the people who made these, who are working on these games.
Concord had a pretty massive impact.
Oh my God.
It's kind of crazy to think about what an impact Concord is now, like retroactively, not retroactively, but like having, even though it's gone.
Yeah. It's just wild because I really think Concord's most heinous offense, and it's not even like me dogging on them, it's just that it would cost money. People want live service games that are free to play.
Mm-hmm.
That no barrier to entry is what makes them so addicting and is what hooks people. Fortnite's free. Marvel Rivals free. I mean, it's the model now, and you have to follow that. You can't charge people to play online games anymore, especially since so many services, you already have to pay for internet. You have to pay for PlayStation Plus to play online. I mean, it's like you just can't. It's not, you can't justify it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I think there's going to be some exceptions, like Elden Ring Night Rain, for example. Like, that doesn't bother me because, like, they said, like, it's an open and shut game. They're like, it's not live. They said it's multiplayer, but it's not a live service. This is a game that you're paying for. It's finished on launch, and that's the game. You know,
right.
That kind of thing I think is acceptable. But Concord was a live service game, you know?
Yeah.
But this makes me really sad, but hopefully. These cancellations, like it's crazy how many cancellations Sony has had of live service games. And now they are really high profile cancellations. That Last of Us one was huge. This God of War one, obviously it's technically not official, but that's huge. These are from giant publishers, giant developers, Naughty Dog, Bend, Bluepoint. Like, that's huge. The amount of money just thrown into a fire in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And now I hope that they start to like take a step back and realize like, oh, people are excited for Ghost of Yote. Oh, maybe we should do stuff like that instead. Oh, Astrobot was Game of the Year. Oh, maybe we should do stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of our best case scenario at this point.
Yes. I think there's been a really strong showing these past couple years for not necessarily single player, but yeah, like you were saying, like driven games that are not, I mean, I don't want to say not live service, but like not live service games. I mean, like you were saying, like Astrobot won, Baldur's Gate won a year before it. Like, people are showing more interest in games that aren't like, and obviously Marvel Rivals is a bit of a, and Fortnite are a bit of outliers because those are both live service. But Fortnite has the benefit of like legacy. It's been around for so long, and it has, you know, you're able to play Godzilla wearing like Air Jordans.
Godzilla's wielding. In Fortnite now?
Yes.
What?
And so is Miku.
Fortnite. Godzilla.
Yeah.
Fortnite image.
It's pretty wild.
Well, you can't play as him, can you? Oh!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
His legs are small. So long!
I know.
Why are his legs
the size
like that?
I know, and he's like the size of, he's the size of everybody else, so it's really weird. But there's like a game mode where you're fighting big Godzilla,
right,
too.
That I knew.
Oh, you can play as Godzilla.
Is that like still in the game right now?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not playing Fortnite. That's not going to get...
Right, right.
Maybe that could get me out of my lull.
That's true. That is true.
Kelly, you want to play?
You know what
Fortnite
might really
tonight?
Get you out of your lull?
Hang on, we'll get back to Fortnite later. Anyway,
you know what might really get you out of your lull?
What
is the new Nintendo Switch, the Switch 2, which was announced randomly on like Friday morning,
Thursday morning,
last Thursday, the 16th. Sorry, my days are blending together. Saw a very brief video on Nintendo's Twitter, which seems to be their new favorite place to just like drop stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have Twitter and YouTube is functionally like they do drop it at the same time. So if you don't want to use Twitter, just subscribe to their YouTube.
Yeah. So just a brief little preview of what the Switch 2 is going to look like. It's bigger. The controllers are a little bit different. And there's going to be a Direct on April 2nd. Getting more in depth. We also saw some gameplay footage part of this preview from the new Mario Kart. Very interesting. And I guess we'll know more on April 2nd.
It's so funny to me because I'm not... I don't know how to put this into words. I'm excited because I'm not excited. What I'm saying is like I'm so genuinely relieved that this is a clear product and it is extreme. And this reveal is perfect in my opinion, because nobody would watch this and be like, well, what is it? Like they show a Switch, they show it getting bigger and making it very clear. This is new. It works a little bit different. They have magnets, so the Joy-Cons will work better. And that's it. It's called Nintendo Switch 2 with the number 2. Big, giant. It was funny when they, like, the word 2 or the number 2 popped up on screen. It was just like, bang, like huge in the middle of the screen. And obviously there's not excitement to this trailer because we've seen it. Like, this leaked, 100% leaked before. Like, it was like a gradual drip. But, like, by the end, we literally knew exactly what it looked like. So it wasn't particularly exciting to see it, but I don't think that was the purpose, you know? I think April 2nd is what's going to be exciting. So.
Yes.
But I think it's
I'm looking forward to seeing the launch titles.
Yeah, that's why I'm over the moon for April 2nd. I'm a little tiny bit disappointed it's so far away. Like April 2nd feels like a billion years right now. I think it's safe to say both of us were wrong because you guessed it would come out in April. And I guess May, and that's not really an option anymore.
What if the Direct, they're like, the Switch is coming out tomorrow, by the way. The Switch 2 is coming out tomorrow. Then I'd be right.
You would be right, and Nintendo would also be in trouble.
And also, what if pigs started flying?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Well, maybe they will in Mario Kart 9.
And also... You never know.
I'm excited for Mario Kart 9. I think a lot of people are like, it doesn't look as impressive as I expected. And I'm like, it's like an off-screen look. Like, it's a hyper-compressed trailer. It's not zoomed in. And it's like 8 seconds.
There's not even like footage from the game. It's like, it's all on the screen. Like, you can't even see.
Exactly. But like, some people put like some side-by-sides to show like, if you look at like a Mario Kart 8 model directly next to this one, like there is a clear jump. Like, Mario Kart 8, you can see, like, polygon edges all over the place. And this one, there's, like, none. So even though it is not impressive with this off-screen look, it is an improvement.
I did notice there are 24 racers.
That's a lot.
And 9.
That's a lot.
I saw a tweet that was like, imagine getting 24th place. Like, I would just end it all.
I mean, it looks like there's going to be a lot. Like, it looks like there might be something different going on here. Because the track is so big. This map looked really, like, vast and flat, so it looks like there might be some weirdness going on. Also, Rosalina was in, like, a snowmobile.
Slay.
So maybe they're... Nice. Slay. Donkey Kong looks a lot different. Donkey Kong has, like, his more, like, old-fashioned
He's
style.
Fuzzier.
He looks like... And his eyes are, like... It's, like, a lot wider of a surrounding his eyes. So I feel like they're going back to, like, that 80s look that he had. I mean, like, look at him.
Yeah, he looks good.
I'm excited for it. I'm really, really excited for April 2nd. I feel like at this point, it's just kind of a wait for that. There's some, like, rumors. There's some pretty strong rumors around it. Reportedly, they're going to sell 20 million. Kelly just keeps putting Beaker behind her.
No, I'm not.
What do you mean, no, you're not?
I'm not doing that.
I'm taking a picture. I'm going to make it the thumbnail. I got it. This is going to be the thumbnail for the episode.
Oh.
Anyway.
I'm glad I'm not wearing any makeup today.
It's fine. I'm not going to make the thumbnail of the episode. Apparently, they're going to sell 20 million units, or they're putting 20 million units on shelves in the first year. And calendar year, as in, like, if it comes out in June to December, 20 million. So they seem confident for sure. I'm excited. April 2nd is going to be very, very exciting, though. I think that'll be... What day of the week is that, Kelly?
Hold on, I have my planner right here.
Kelly has her planner. I would expect her to use her computer because it seems like it'd be faster, but...
April 2nd is Wednesday. It's on a Wednesday.
Okay, so we'll make sure we have an episode the Monday after. We might have to like shift some things around, but we'll make sure that we're here on April 7th or whatever.
We might have to explode.
What?
You heard me.
Okay. I'm very excited. I know that the reveal trailer wasn't like set the world on fire, but that's fine with me. I don't think the reveal trailer needed to set the world on fire.
I thought it was funny that there was some confusion about, like, if it was February 4th or April 2nd.
Yeah, because poor Europeans.
Us Americans, we read dates like month first. And everybody else in the world does day first.
Which makes sense.
Which I'm not going to get into it, but I think month first actually does make more sense.
Well, I feel like it should be, like, the smallest unit, the mediumest unit, and the biggest unit.
But... we don't have to get into it. My only thought is that, like, when you have the day first, it's like you don't have all of the context. Like, if it said like 22/5/2025, your first thought and sight is it's the 22nd of the month. Which month? Oh, the 5th. Whereas with the month first, you go, okay, we're starting in May, and then here's the day. And then the year is kind of superfluous because most plans you make within the year, unless it's something huge like a wedding. So I feel like it just makes sense to have the month context before the day.
I feel like Nintendo probably should have just written out April 2nd.
Yeah, it was weird that they did like all numbers and no.
It's visually nice, but it does mean that it is hard to tell which it is. Because February 4th would have been like tangible. That's
right.
Not a crazy number to say.
Right.
But.
Right.
I hope that the rumors slow down a little bit so we can just focus on, you know, enjoying
exploding.
Ourselves till then. Yes, exploding on April 2nd.
Exploding.
Should we talk about what we played?
Yeah.
Kelly froze for a while. It's because she turned herself into a cake. She's having too much fun with the filters while we're talking.
Sorry.
I had COVID on Christmas. I got COVID. That was what Santa brought me.
oh, my gosh.
I literally woke up at 3 a.m. on December 26th, and I was like, oh, I'm sick. That's because Santa had brought me COVID. That drained me of all energy, and I couldn't even play games because I was just tired for, like, 3 weeks. So I've been bad at playing games, which kind of sucks because we were on break. Usually I play, like, 8 games while we're on break. I did not. I played Monument Valley 3. That was the 50th game I finished in 2024, so I did hit my goal.
Yippee!
I did it at 5:30 p.m. on January 31st. Or December 31st, I mean.
Oh.
It was terrifying. I almost didn't make it in.
You know what that reminds me of? Last year, I was like, I'm gonna finish Phantom Liberty, last year in 2023, I was like, I'm gonna finish Phantom Liberty before the end of the year. Like, I'm gonna finish it because I want to be able to talk about it in the new year. I finished that DLC on New Year's Eve at 7 p.m., like an hour before we had to leave to go to our party. It was crazy. I was like, I did it. I was like watching the credits, you know, like life changed, sobbing. The music was beautiful. The visuals were gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God, I have to go like... celebrate New Year's.
Yeah, that was me. But I had to celebrate it with like a couple friends at distance in a mask, so it wasn't like I was all excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, Monument Valley 3, I've talked about 1 and 2 pretty recently. It was good, but I playing all 3 in a row, it kind of like, it's not that different. I feel like Monument Valley 1 kind of hit the nail on the head pretty perfectly. And 2 and 3 improve the visuals and like try to increase the story a little bit, but they don't really nail it, I think. They're really short. They're really easy, like mobile games. I think if you're playing them just like when you have a moment, you'll probably enjoy them a lot. But they kind of, I feel like they're sort of a sign, like they remind me of like early 2010s mobile gaming more than anything, even though this game came out in December. I also bought the new Mario Party. I know we had talked about it and how I played it, but I actually bought a copy. This is the first time I bought Mario Party ever. I always just play other people's copies. But I wanted to play it. I wanted to play it with some people that didn't have it. And I wanted to try the single player mode. The single player mode is kind of great. The whole shtick of it is that you're like going to the boards of the Mario Party mode and like setting them up for the Mario Party. Like you're like helping the shopkeepers get their stuff together. You're like setting up the events, like all this stuff. It's a really cool idea. I had a lot of fun playing it. It probably took me like 5 or 6 hours to play through like the whole thing. But I've also been playing a bunch of Mario Party with a bunch of people and having a really good time. The new maps are really good. The only one I don't like is the racetrack. The returning Mario map, there's like a Mario Cloud map, is horrible. But the new Bowser map is incredible. So I feel like it balances out. And I haven't had the chance to play like the other side modes yet. There's a bunch of side modes, but I haven't had the chance yet. But I really enjoyed the single player. If it's a game you're somewhat interested in, it does give you enough value just playing by yourself to get quite a few hours of content while you're waiting for friends to play with you. And then I played other new release, well, last year new release, Neva. I finally got around to that one. I thought I never would. That sounded like difficult for you to laugh. It was really stunning. I liked Greece well enough, their last game, but this one I feel like has a more like full vision. It's a little bit more straightforward. There's actual like combat, which is really cool. Greece was just kind of like walking around, whereas this one is, there's more combat involved, and I really, really enjoyed it. The depth is not like crazy. There's not a ton to look into here, but the visuals are just profoundly good. And because that gameplay was also pretty crisp and feels really good, I do recommend this game, especially if it's on sale. It took me like 3 hours to finish. It was a really touching story. The visuals are just so good. I know I've said that 3 times, but it cannot be emphasized enough how beautiful that painterly style is. I feel like you'd like it a lot, Kelly. You should definitely grab it when it's on sale.
Yeah. Is it emotional? Because I don't know about that.
It's emotional, but it doesn't overdo it, which surprised me. I thought it was going to be like really, really hammy, but it was not. It was pretty reserved.
Do you think I'll cry? I cry very easily.
I think there's a 50-50 shot, but I don't think you'll sob.
I think a 50-50 shot means more like 70% chance for me.
Right, but I don't think you'll sob. I think you might shed a tear or two.
Okay. So good to know. I would like to play this, actually. I keep seeing it on PlayStation. No, I'm thinking about Greece. I keep seeing it somewhere, but I don't know where.
This is better than Greece, in my opinion, so.
What about Greece Lightning?
I also watched... Castlevania Nocturne Season 2. I didn't finish it. Came out on Thursday of last week. I'm watching one episode a day. I feel like that's a new thing for me. Have you been feeling the same with age? That TV is better not binged?
I think that I just don't have it in me. I don't know if it's my attention span has gotten really bad. Or if I just like... I don't know. The only thing I ever binge now is Real Housewives. Everything else I do tend to space out a little bit more because I just don't have it in me to watch like 5 episodes of something.
I just think it's better to like space it out so you have time to like to digest it.
Well, like, I think that also like really works too for like new shows that are coming out because that builds more hype when it's like weekly rather than all at once. Like The Bear always releases all at once. People don't talk about The Bear super long versus like any HBO show, which they do weekly, people are yapping. So,
yeah, that's how I feel about this, where like the whole thing, Castlevania's whole thing is like really good characters and character development. And I feel like rushing through it, because I kind of rewatched season one pretty quick and I was like, it was good that way. But like, I'm only halfway into season two and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying like the time with the characters and just seeing them develop. Because, like, I binged all of Better Call Saul while I had COVID and couldn't do anything at all. And I've seen that show before. And when I watched it originally, it was generally, like, one episode per sitting, tops. But when I was binging it, I was watching like almost a whole season a day because I had, I was sick and I couldn't leave and I could not do anything. I was so tired. So I just binged like 9 to 10 episodes a day. So that's a bad way to consume it. Like it felt bad. And I finished it and I was like, wow, that was a really bad way to watch the show. I had seen it before, so it was okay. But like, I'm just like a one episode ago, like one episode a day, even though episodes are only like 20 something minutes. I'm like, I finished it and I could easily watch more. But I was like, I want to sit on this one. I want to digest what I just watched, you know? But I'm really, really liking season two. I think the characters are super intricate and fun. I still don't get why people dislike this new direction. It's definitely different than the first series, but like, I think there's a little bit more, it's like a little bit more emotional based for a lot of it. Like Richter's more vulnerable than Trevor ever was in a lot of ways. There's a lot more lesbianism in this one. Maybe not a lot. There was a lot in the original series now that I'm thinking about it. There's a lot of lesbians in this show, in this series.
As there should be. If it's a show about vampires and there's not a lesbian in it, then what are we even doing here, folks?
Yeah, there's seriously so much queer stuff in this. So there's a lot of representation that feels very, very organic and cool, which I really appreciate. And people are like, it's not historically accurate. I'm like, you know what else isn't historically accurate? Vampires, okay? Calm down.
Also, like, historically accurate, as if gay people have not existed until the beginning of, since the beginning of time. I don't understand.
I think they're more upset about the people of color.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. Which, it's crazy, like, how people just have their own worldview and they are so ignorant of everything else that they believe that their way is the only way that is correct when history proves them wrong time and time and again. Not that vampires are actually historical, but
they are.
They are.
This is the show.
You know what's
history.
Funny? This is not vampire related at all. I mean, this is not video game related at all. It is vampire related. I did see Nosferatu.
I did too.
All right. We can talk about it after the show.
Okay. It's horrible. I mean, I loved it, but it was horrible.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, I really disagree with you. But right.
Wait, I have one more Castlevania thing.
Yes.
I went to this place called Round One, which is basically like a new kind of Dave and Buster's-esque place. It's a billion like flashing lights, arcade games and stuff. But they have this marble drop Castlevania game from Japan there, and I was like, is that Castlevania in like a game store in Ohio? And I got really excited and I ran over and I started playing it, and it was the most like absolute gambling addict, drop marbles, loud sounds, loud just like
bing, bing, bing,
but like it was funny because like the Castlevania is playing like and I'm like, oh, and it's funny because like after, at the end of the day, we went to the ticket store, which is like the ticket redemption area, which is like off on the side, and I looked at my friend and I was just like, all I can hear through this entire loud establishment is that Castlevania music playing, because I played so much of that marble drop game and it was very fun, but I also spent like $10 on it, so
it goes, well, that's okay,
it goes easy and it goes quick.
That's not that bad if you think about how much money people probably spend there on other things.
Yeah, or just, I mean, people who spend on like actual gambling. Yeah. I mean, I that's the thing, is like I was having genuine fun and I was sitting here like, yeah, bonus wheel, and it was like, you get 3 bonus marbles, and I'm like, yes. And then at one point they're like, Alucard's gonna help you, and I'm like, whoa, and he just like smacked a thing, and then they were like 10 marbles, and I'm like 10 marbles.
Hey, that is pretty exciting.
It was really,
I saw that beautiful blonde man helping me drop some marbles. I don't know. You'd have to hold me back. I mean, I don't know what would be going on.
You and I should go to round one and play the Castlevania marble drop game for like 3 hours.
Honestly, that sounds fun to me.
Yeah. I put in, at the end, I put like $5 in at once so I could get like a bonus. Like, because he gives you extra marbles if you put it all at once. And I just kept getting like bonus marbles on top of bonus marbles. I only got like 100 tickets, which for $5 is not very much. But it lasted so long and it just kept like sucking me in, being like, oh, 3 more balls. Oh, 5 more balls. Oh, you want 5? You want 5 more? And I'm like, yeah, I do.
I do. I do want 5 more.
It was really fun. So highly recommend that game if you go to round one or see that game anywhere.
Thank you.
That's my video games. Kelly, what'd you play?
So I spent a lot of our break playing games that I have already played, if you can believe it. Standard, typical of me. I did play Cyberpunk for a little bit because there was a new update, which I talked about in the show. It was like right around their anniversary. So that was before we went on our break. But I played that a little bit. That was fun. I mean, the update wasn't anything significant, but it was fun. And then I played a little bit more Skyrim because sometimes I just get this itch when it's cold out. It's like something very nostalgic takes over my body and I yearn for the simplicity of my youth. And I played a little bit of Skyrim and that was a lot of fun. I will say I played something new. Oh, I will also say that I, as per usual, sometimes I feel a little bit silly emotionally and mentally. And the silliness directly contributes to my mental health. So sometimes the silliness takes over. And when I get too silly, I want to feel more control over my life. So I play The Sims because I control their lives. So I was playing The Sims quite a bit. And I still am. And I've actually been really into building, which I never did when I was younger. I would always just use like pre-made houses and decorate them. But I've been really into building. There's something like I get into this flow state where I'm like listening to lo-fi and I just start like building a restaurant or something in The Sims. And I'm like, wow, this feels really good. This feels good for my brain. The silliness is gone. I mean, it's still there a little bit, but not quite as bad. But anyway, what else did I play? Oh, yeah, I played a new game, which is the whole point of me.
me forever. Asking what are you playing?
Right. I started playing The Outer Wilds, not The Outer Worlds, The Outer Wilds, which is a little hard to describe because it is many different things. I'm a few hours in. I think time goes by very fast. It's like a space exploration game, kind of. It is so well made that I struggle. It's a little overwhelming when you first play it. And I will tell you that, Andrew, since you haven't played it yet, it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, that I've heard that a lot.
Because there are a lot of different places to go and things to learn. But you kind of hit this moment in the game where things start to click for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it because I think it is really well. I think it's better for you to go in blind. It's better for anyone to go in blind. I will say the music is incredible. It's like my favorite part of the game. There's a little device that you have, and you get this in like the first 20 minutes, so I don't feel bad saying this, but there's this device that you get from your home planet where you're basically picking up radio waves and you point it at different planets, and the different planets, like, you can hear music on some of them, and it's like, where's that music coming from? I don't know. It's just like, and you know that a lot of these planets are abandoned, so you're kind of like, where is this music coming from? The game is like very beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit haunting just based on how lonely you tend to feel, but it's really beautiful and it's challenging. I mean, you're exploring space basically by yourself. And I will say that I don't want to spoil the system, but so I won't. So don't worry, I won't spoil it. But I will say one of my funniest deaths was that I was in my spaceship and I said, and I landed on the moon and I said, oh, the moon. And there was somebody on the moon. And I was like, let me talk to them. I got out of my spaceship. Everything was fine. They were not in a spacesuit. Neither was I. So I talked to them for a little bit. And then I landed on a different part of the moon. And I said, well, I didn't need my spacesuit before. So I jumped right out of my ship and immediately died because I wasn't wearing a spacesuit. So that was a little rough for me. I was like, and it's like really sad when your character is not like dies of having no air because they're like, and it's like kind of slow and you're like, oh my God, it's a little bit traumatizing. But the music is really good. Visually, it's got a very strong style, but I think it really adds to it. And I love the, like, I don't want to say quirky because that feels not quite as heavy as it should be, but I love the sort of like offbeatness of it. Like, you start the game and you're cooking marshmallows with somebody who lives on the planet with you. And you can just sit there and cook marshmallows for like 20 minutes. Not saying I did that, but.
Did you?
I cooked marshmallows for a long time because it was really easy to burn them. And every time I burnt the marshmallow and ate it, my character would go, bleh. So I'm like, okay, I don't like burnt marshmallows either. I like a light brown toast. So I had to sort of like figure out where I could hold the marshmallow to cook it that way. So yeah, I cooked marshmallows for a long time. But really great game. Highly recommend. Definitely there's a learning curve to it and you have to find the groove. But once you do, it's like, wow. I'm not saying it's life changing, but it feels pretty significant when you're playing it and you're like, you're really in it. The music and the atmosphere and the environments. And like I said, that sort of offbeatness is really enjoyable for me personally. So I recommend it.
I'm planning on playing it soon. I actually got it for Christmas physically. It's just one of those games. I feel like I need to get out of my lull in order to get into it. You know, that would be a hard game to play while I'm in this lull.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, me personally, I'm playing it on PC. I'm playing with a controller, which I never do. But the game was really, really adamant, like, you should play this with a controller. So you'll have the benefit of not having to hook up a controller to your PC to play it.
That's correct. I'll play it on PS5. Well,
I'm still a strawberry, if anybody even cares.
Yeah, Kelly's been a strawberry. Actually, I think I said you were cake. I never mentioned that you were strawberry.
Oh, I changed to strawberry because I thought it was cuter.
It is cute.
Than the cake. The cake was like really off to the side like this.
You said like this, strawberry? Like they can see.
I forgot. The strawberry is a little more central on my screen, so, but I keep getting distracted and looking at myself because I'm a little strawberry.
Kelly, next week we'll be talking about some new games when we're back. Lonely Mountains. Did you ever play Lonely Mountain? Downhill? It's like a game where you just ride a bike down a hill.
No, that scares me though.
It's really, really calming. There's a new one coming out that's skiing. It's coming out Tuesday on Game Pass. I'm really excited for that. And I also bought Dynasty Warriors Origins. I was telling Kelly though before the show, I bought it on Amazon because that was the only place that said they would get it to me on release day. And then like a few days prior, they're like, actually, it's coming February. And I'm like, what? So I canceled it and ordered it at Best Buy because they said I could pick it up at a store on release day. And then the day of release, they said, no, you can't. They said, we're not getting it. Oh. So I had to order it from Walmart's website and they said it'll be here Thursday. So I'm just sitting here very annoyingly waiting to play it. And I really want to play it. And I've heard really good things. And the Dynasty Warriors game sounds like the perfect game to get back into gaming because it's dumb and fun.
Yippee!
So hopefully that'll get me out of my lull and I'll be a big old gamer boy again. And I'm also going to finish Castlevania.
What? I forgot I played a different game.
What'd you play?
One moment. Hold, please.
What? Do you forget what you played?
It was a long time ago. It was like literally right when we started our break.
Oh,
it was like potion seller, potion. Why am I locked out of Steam?
Potion maker?
Potion craft. Potion craft. Simulator.
Oh, I've seen this game. I've seen it a lot, the visual style. It's on Game Pass, right?
Yes. Is it? I bought it.
It was on Steam.
I love to spend money. yes.
It left Game Pass.
Yeah, I can talk. I can talk about it next week if we'd rather.
No, I want to hear about it.
Save it. Sorry, I totally meant to write that down and then I completely forgot.
I want to hear about it, please.
So it's like it's a puzzle game, kind of. You're like, you have a little store and you have to make all these potions for people. I think it's really interesting. There's like a reputation system. So if like a thief comes in and he's like, you need to make this potion so this person will fall asleep and then I can go in their house and steal. If you accept their money and make that potion for them, your reputation goes down.
Wow.
And then you'll only get those kinds of ruffians coming into your store and asking for potions. I mean, they're willing to pay and sometimes the money is very good. So you kind of have to balance. You know, if you're going to be a morally upstanding person or if you're willing to put your morals aside for the sake of money. But basically what you do is you have ingredients and you have a little garden and you have ingredients and you are able to create different potions depending on what ingredients you're using, how much water you're using, what base you're using, et cetera, et cetera. What I really liked about the game was that it's very like customizable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can make the bottles look different. You can make the label look different. You can pick what you want to grow in your garden. Excuse me.
Bless you.
that was a little hiccup. I had a good time with this game. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating because you don't have the ingredients that you need. and then you have to like turn someone away and then they get mad at you and then your reputation goes down. And it's like, okay, it's not my fault. I don't have this super secret special mushroom that the mushroom seller is charging 500 coins for, which I don't have, by the way. So that was a little frustrating, but I love the overall style of this game and the music's good too.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that sort of like storybook. It reminds me a little bit of Storybook because it's got that sort of like paper.
Storyteller.
Sorry. It's got that sort of like paper background.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of like aged paper, which was nice. And the style of like old English drawings, kind of like Pentiment, which I still have been meaning to play.
Yeah, that's on my list too.
It's funny. I still have it. It's like in my Xbox Game Pass like sidebar. Like I can see it there. It's just like looking at me every time I open my Game Pass app.
Being like, please. But,
please, please download me. Please, please. And I really, really want to play it, but I just haven't gotten around to it. And, you know, I would like to play it before Avowed, but am I going to do that?
No.
No. Well, maybe. No.
Okay.
Well, maybe. Probably not.
Okay.
Unless.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, well.
Well, we'll see.
So you like the game?
Yes, I do. If you like, have you ever played what's it called? It was like a it wasn't dumb. I'm sorry. It was like a little mobile game where you like put two things together and it made something else. Doodle God. Did you ever play that game?
No.
We went through a phase, me and the man that I live with, back in like 2018. I would play Fortnite. That's right. I play Fortnite and the WWE game. And then we would play Doodle God because they have it on all the consoles. So we played on my PS4 and he would just play Doodle God for like 4 hours. Basically, you take two things and it makes something else. Like if you took water and sunlight, it would make like, I don't know, grass. Or if you took water and fire, it would make steam. Steam and something else, you can make locomotive. So there was like different things that you can make. And it reminds me of that. Like you combine ingredients to make something, you know, as you do. Sorry. There was supposed to be a long explanation and then I realized that I had already said what I was trying to say. So it reminds me of Doodle God for those who ever played that game a little bit. Very fun. I recommend it. Especially, and you said it's not on Game Pass anymore, but I think yeah, I got this on the Steam Winter Sale, so I think I paid like $4 for it.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
Yeah. I went crazy on the sale. I got Outer Wilds, I got this game, and then I got Slay the Princess, which I...
Classic.
It's so good. I know.
You're going
to
love it.
The man that I live with was like, you need to play this game. You're going to really like it. And I was like, I know, that's what Andrew said, and I didn't listen, but now I own it, so... Or I own the license to play it. Thank you, Steam. Thank you,
Jigglypuff.
Thank you, Jigglypuff.
Anyway. Thank you,
Jigglypuff.
Do you want to call it a year?
Happy 2025, everybody.
I hope, Very much looking well.
Yes, I hope you're well. Very much looking forward to continuing this podcast this year. This poopcast. Sorry. That's not what it's called. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great day and week and month and year, even though I already said happy 2025. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.